You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dadd, and today we are talking Braves baseball. We bring in our Braves reporter, Mark Bowman, for us here on MLB.com. Mark, it was really interesting talking about you showing up to camp and talking to a lot of these guys who have arrived, and you're speaking to Luis Gohara, and a very heavy heart he arrives to camp with, because in just asking him about his offseason, he explains to you the story about his father passing away and a really emotional experience.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, it was one of those where I just wanted to say, hey, how are you? And, you know, you never know what you're going to hear. And the pain in his, you can just see the pain on his face. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people may have already read the story. They're familiar. But for those who aren't, he is very close with his father. His father is 58 years old, lived in Brazil, and was a catcher in Japan for about 10 years. So this was not only, you know, a father figure in many ways, a baseball mentor, and also Luis's biggest fan. Well, Luis went home to Brazil last offseason. You think it's going to be he's looking forward to spending the winter and enjoying, you know, kind of celebrating with his dad that, hey, we made it to the big leagues and, you know, enjoy the success he had in September. And then for the first 3 weeks, his dad was fine. Then he started to get weak, and he was spending a lot of time in bed. And then in December, Luis decided he got to the point where he had to take him to the hospital. But, very sad to hear him retell the story. As he says, you know, we got to the hospital, and he basically died in my arms. And, you know, this is doctors have not been able to tell him what happened, or, you know, why his dad got sick passed away. He had to leave his mother in Brazil. It's not easy at 21 years old for anyone to leave home, especially with that situation where, you know, you're leaving your mother who just lost her husband, and you know, you're still dealing with that trauma of saying goodbye to your father or burying your father. So you could just see the pain in his face, and it's stories like this that humanize the game. You know, we have to remember, we look at numbers so much in baseball, and, you know, you're critical in a sport where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to call it failure, but you know, it's a game where you have to learn from your many mistakes. And, you know, so there's a lot of criticism. You know, when you sit there and talk to a guy about an issue like this, you're reminded of the human element of the game, and just how much more goes into this than just, you know, pitching mechanics and whatever else, the other preparations you make here during spring training.
Yeah, a really unfortunate story, and our thoughts and prayers are obviously with Luis Gohara and his family. Another arrival at camp was Ronald Acuna, who came, you know, 5 days early. Pretty interesting for a guy who, you know, really would love to make this roster break open for opening day. We're not expecting that to be the case, but you never know what happens this spring. What, you know, was the fanfare around him and the buzz like in camp for Acuna, a guy who's the top prospect in the organization?
Yeah, he showed up there here on Wednesday and took some swings out there on the field today. Or out there in the batting cages today. It's just it's good to see him get started. It's good to see that he seems to be willing to accept all the attention he's going to get this spring. I asked Brian Snicker just a little bit ago. I said, "Hey, look, we all know what the deal is with the service time. You know, you put him on your opening day roster, you risk the possibility of losing a full year of control of him. You know, what do you talk to him about that?" He said, "No, I just tell the kid to go get it. You know, we aren't 100% sure of what's going to happen. They want him to go out there and fight for a spot. And I do anticipate that, you know, he's going to at least have the fans buzzing saying, oh, you know, he should be on the roster. At the end of the day, you know, my anticipation is he'll be on the big league roster by the end of April, and probably maybe even by the middle of April. But at the same time, you know, that's good. It's good for him to create the excitement that he has the potential to create during spring training, because I do expect he's going to put up some good numbers. He put up great numbers last year as a 19-year-old kid who had 40 games at the Class A level underneath his belt. You know, he showed great composure, which is what probably stands out most about him. He certainly doesn't act like a 20-year-old and doesn't play like one. And I think everyone's looking forward to seeing how he handles himself this year, seeing how the veterans try to humble him or keep him humble, let's put it that way, and, you know, seeing what kind of preparations he makes for what could be a, very early season big league debut.
Yeah, I know Braves fans are very excited about that. By the way, it was pitchers and catchers who were scheduled to report this week, and Braves came through with some news signing veteran catcher Chris Stewart to a major league deal. Why now, and, you know, what does this deal mean for the Braves?
It's a very interesting deal. I mean, you know, Alex Anthopoulos said, look, this is just a depth deal. This provides us some insurance. Maybe it's a non-guaranteed deal. Chris Stewart's 35 years old. He struggled offensively the last couple of years for the Pirates, but he is a good defensive catcher. He knows how to handle a pitching staff. The Braves obviously have two solid catchers in Tyler Flowers and Kurt Suzuki. They teamed up to produce the best F4 last year among major league catchers. You know, they are certainly quite capable of doing the job. I just, in the back of my mind with this signing, I wonder if there's there's potential that they could trade one of those two guys and get some value and fill another need. Instead of having them split the time, maybe have, you know, one of them serve as the primary catcher and Stewart's playing once or twice a week, you know, just like the most backup catchers. Instead of having two guys fill that position on a regular basis, like I said, the Braves aren't saying that's what they're going to do, but, you know, they pursued Chris Stewart throughout the winter. They wanted him to sign a minor league deal. He wouldn't do it, so they went ahead and gave him the big league non-guaranteed deal, which means that, you know, hey, look, let's say you get to March. Well, the season starts a lot earlier this year, but, you know, a week left in camp. They could release him and only have to pay a prorated portion or a fraction of that $575,000 salary.
All right, in terms of catchers, especially at the front end of this rotation and the only essential locks to begin the season in the rotation, according to their general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, Julio Teheran, Mike Foltynewicz, and Brandon McCarthy. What did you see from these guys this week, and what are their expectations this spring?
Well, you know, they've only thrown here, you know, for a day, you know, off the mound. So what you're seeing from these guys is kind of going through the motions. Right now, getting themselves prepared. Julio spent some time with his uncle this winter. And he's a guy that, you know, his mechanics were messed up a little bit last year. Not too bad, though, because you got to remember, he had such a weird season. He was horrible at home for 2 months and great on the road. That's somewhat leveled out over the remainder of the season, but you just never saw him have that long streak. Well, long successful streak that you would like to see from a guy that wants to be a frontline starter. He went home, and from what I can tell, you know, while he and his uncle might have worked on refining his regaining that feel for the slider, I think a lot of it was mental work, you know, just trying to help him regain his confidence. His uncle has been with him since, you know, he's been his pitching coach probably since he's been 10 years old. They work a lot every offseason together, but this year I think the focus was, on that mental aspect of the game and regaining that confidence that he lost last year during what was definitely a frustrating season. With Brandon McCarthy, I talked to him a little bit about being a leader within a young rotation. He's more than willing to do so. He's not going to be the guys getting in guys' faces and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, he's a guy that's been there, done that, and been through a lot. For the Luis Gojaras, Sean Newcombs, you know, even the Max Fried, Colby Allards, and, you know, young guys that would begin the year in the minors, to spend this time during spring training and lean on a guy like this and see how he goes about his business, his work ethic, I think that can be very valuable, you know, for Brandon's not ready to you know, basically just fill that role either. You know, he still believes he has something left in his career. Last year was frustrating. Last three seasons have been frustrating for him in a variety of ways. Last year he hurt his non-throwing shoulder with a weightlifting accident and never really got his mechanics back. So he thinks he still has something in the tank. Alex Anthopoulos compared him to A.J. Burnett when A.J. went to the Pirates. Not saying that they're the same kind of pitcher, but it's the same kind of situation where a veteran pitcher has a chance to revitalize his career in a different setting. And, I think Brandon has come here to be much more than just a leader. He wants to extend that career.
All right, then for the final two spots of this rotation, you mentioned some of those names already. How is the organization going to evaluate these guys this spring in order to come out with the best two to fill those final two spots to break the opening day rotation?
Well, like you said, those three spots with Teron and McCarthy and Foltynewicz. Foltynewicz, the interesting aspect is, you know, he lost his arbitration case. Is he a little bit upset? He said he was upset that the Braves didn't send an official that he recognized. The Braves did have two officials there. For now, I think that you get right down to it. Folty needs to get to that point of his career where you want him to have that competitive fire. You want him to be, somewhat, you know, just that guy that use that anger, though, to your benefit. He's a guy that can get hot at times, but his emotions have gotten the best of him. And if he learns how to channel those emotions and use them to his benefit, I think he can take a step forward. With Sean Newcomb and Luis Gohar, the favorites to get the final two spots in that rotation. I'd say Gohar is, you know, essentially a lock. If Newcomb throws enough strikes here during spring training, he's, you know, more than likely going to get that bid as well. He had 19 starts last year. He's certainly the most experienced candidate, minus Scott Kazmir. You know, Scott Kazmir is the dark horse in this. You know, I don't think that Braves are really counting on him, you know, to be in that rotation. But if he proves healthy throughout spring training, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I don't know if spring training is enough to develop trade value, but at the same time, there's a chance he could at least allow them to get something in return, or let's say this, not significant trade value. So I would think Newcomb could start the year in the rotation. Max Fried, I think he needs some more time in the minors. They called him up way too early last year. They actually owe it to him to allow him to go back down and develop. And then as the summer goes on, I think Mike Soroka and Colby Allard will become candidates for Atlanta's rotation.
All right. Pitchers and catchers reported this week, and Ronald Acuna came a little early to camp. As we got position players coming up next, who are you excited to see in terms of position players that aren't in camp already arrive and start hitting the field?
I think Dansby Swanson. You know, let's see how he reacts to what happened last year. He spent two months in at the big league level in 2016, and life was grand. He gained a lot of attention, and through no fault of his own, he's on billboards and, you know, throughout Atlanta, and he's gaining all this attention, and he really hasn't had a chance to prove himself, and last year he struggled. So just to see what he can do this year, bouncing back, you know, not only from an offensive standpoint, but also a defensive standpoint, that challenge is there because, you know, last year we're talking about how he could be a superstar, and now we're saying, you know, can he keep his starting role, you know, throughout this year. We'll go on tomorrow, maybe take that. So I think he's the one guy that's probably the most intriguing among the position players.
All right, sounds good. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that next week. That's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. Like I said, back next week with a brand new episode, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Take care.